Matthew 12, verse number 43. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "And when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he, and taking with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation." Mark chapter number 1 and verse 21. The Bible says, "And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. They were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes." Notice verse 23, "And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace, come out of him." Would you lift your hands, ask God to help us, anoint us this morning. God, we thank you for your sweet spirit, God, that we felt in every service, for the way the Holy Ghost has moved us far in this youth camp. We ask you to meet with us this morning, meet us in this altar, touch our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I feel like this morning in this camp, I feel like that holy dove has been released from heaven, like Noah released him from the ark, released that dove from the ark in the Old Testament, and he went out, and his mission was to find a place where he could abide. And I feel like the Holy Ghost, the brother mentioned it already, that dove of heaven has come out to Broxton Camp, and he's on a mission. He's trying to find somewhere and somebody that he can abide on. Is there anybody here that has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost this week so far? Anybody seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost? There's several. Well, I believe that Brother Pascarella preached to us last night that the Holy Ghost is here and he's looking and he's seeking for young hearts that will be sold out to him, that he can abide on and he can dwell in. Somebody that is sold out. The Bible said in one place, quench not the spirit. This isn't what I'm going to preach, but that word quench not the spirit, we think it means that if the Lord tells you to raise your hand and you don't raise your hand, you've quenched the spirit. That's not necessarily all that it means. That word quench, that text is meaning don't put out the influence of the spirit in your life when the Holy Ghost tries to lead you and guide you. But what I want to preach about this morning out of this text that I read, I want to preach to you. And I really, Brother Pascarella, after last night, I prayed and I looked. Now, I wanted to come in after him, preach on the Holy Ghost. I really did. After the way he preached last night, if you're a preacher, it'll light a fire under you. I said, boy, I'd love just the Lord to take it over the top. But I don't know a whole lot, but I know enough that when I feel something on my heart, I'd be a fool to try to go any other way. I want to preach this morning on the Holy Spirit is looking, but there's an evil spirit lurking. The Holy Spirit's looking, but there's an evil spirit lurking. If you'll notice with me in my text in the book of Mark, chapter number 1, Jesus has gone into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And you know as well as I do, anywhere Jesus went, he wasn't going to entertain. He wasn't going to hear himself talk. When he went somewhere, most of the time it started out with him giving a speech, with him preaching or teaching on the scriptures. But most of the time before it was over, there was somebody at his feet begging for mercy. Most of the time there was somebody sick or somebody demon-possessed at the feet of Jesus. And before it was all over, everywhere Jesus went, he healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So he wasn't in the synagogue that day to entertain them. He was there on a mission to teach the word. But there's no doubt he knew before it was over, there was somebody going to come along that needed a touch from God. And I want you to notice that in Mark 1 and 23, that in the synagogue on this Sabbath day, that Jesus is not the only spiritual being in the church. I want you to notice that. Verse 23, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. Jesus is the preeminent spiritual being in that service that day, but he wasn't the only one in attendance. How many of you know the devil goes to church? He was there that day on Sunday, on the Sabbath day. Jesus is preaching. Jesus is teaching. Some people's got this idea that the devil, and I understand he is under the submission of Jesus. He's under his authority, but he's very bold and very brazen, and it doesn't bother him one bit to stroll right up in the house of God when the presence of God is moving and try to cause confusion and distraction. This dove this morning, this holy dove, is seeking a place to abide. But I want to preach to you that the devil is seeking a person to abuse right here at youth camp. And I want to make this clear this morning. Don't misunderstand me. And when I get done, you'll see why I tried to wrestle with the Lord. But I want to make this clear. A person that's up under the blood of Jesus, that's covered in the blood, that's cleansed, that's saved, cannot be filled with the Spirit at the same time. And I've heard some discrepancies. What about somebody that's born again, somebody that's covered by the blood? They cannot be possessed by the devil. They can be influenced, but they cannot be possessed. Understand, this house of God this morning is a safe place for us to come and worship. It's a safe place for us, Brother Brian, that's under the blood. We can come in and have our souls fed and have our and worship and praise the Lord. But understand this morning, if our spiritual eyes could be open, there is a spiritual warfare going on. There is a spiritual warfare right here at Broxton, right in the house of God. If we could see spiritually, there's forces of good and there's forces of evil. And while we're in here worshiping and praising the Lord, there is an adversary lurking around and looking for young people to find a way to infiltrate their life. He's always lurking around. Paul in the book of Acts chapter number 16. It may take me a little while to get where I want to go, so just stay with me. But in Acts 16, Paul is there. You would think that the devil would stay out of the house of God. You would think that he would stay away from people that's trying to do right. But understand, Paul in Acts 16 is preaching, he's baptizing, people are being saved. And a young lady's following behind him, and she's crying out that, hey, these men are servants of the Most High God, and they declare unto us the way of salvation. Brother, she was saying all the right things. What she was saying was true, but Paul had enough of God about him to understand that everything that glitters isn't gold, and everything that comes to the house of God isn't right with God. And he turned around and put a stop to it. There'd be a lot of people in trouble in the house of God if the man of God was as bold as Paul, because there's a lot of people that come right into the house of God and they're bold enough to stand up and they come around the altar and they look the part and they say the right things, but their heart is not right with God. Paul knew she was trying to hinder the work of God, and he calls her out. And that's where a lot of people's at. These spirits in the Bible, throughout the New Testament, you can read them. Many times you'll find evil spirits right in the house of God. They'd come right in. They'd begin to manifest themselves in ways. You'll remember they'll run up to Jesus and fall down at his feet and worship him. They'd begin to pray to him. They'd begin to worship him. They'd begin to glorify him. And he'd always put a stop to it. I've seen it before when that evil spirit will come out in a person. They'd begin to be spiritual. They'd begin to speak in tongues. They'd begin to worship. They'd begin to do things. But you could feel the spirit wasn't right. And my text in Matthew paints a picture of these spirits. And they're lurking around the life of a person. The person looked clean. The Bible said the house was swept and garnished. It looked clean. It looked inhabitable. It looked right. But it was empty on the inside. And he's waiting on an opportunity to find a way into that house, into that person. Now understand me this morning. I'm not an expert, or I don't have a degree in this. I'm not an expert on all of this spirit stuff, but I know what the Holy Ghost dealt with me. And I know that Satan doesn't have the power to send his minions running around possessing everybody. If he did, every sinner would be possessed. He doesn't have that authority. But just as the Holy Ghost will only fill a vessel that is emptied of the world and emptied of itself, what the adversary is looking for is young people that's empty of God. They look right on the outside. They've got the outward appearance. They know what to say. They know what to do. But on the inside, they're void of God. They're emptied of God. And they come to the house of God and they play church and they worship and they praise and they dance and they buck and they shout. But the inside, there is no Spirit of God. It's an outward manifestation, but there's nothing on the inside. That's what the enemy is looking for. How does it happen? Now, I don't personally know anybody. I know it happens, Brother Jerry. I don't know anybody that's opened themselves to a spirit by playing with a Ouija board. I know it does happen, but I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody that's had I don't know anybody that's ever had a seance, or I hope we ain't got no psychics here this morning. But for that spirit to get a way into that place, there must be an open door. There must be a way for him to get in. Some comes through literature and fantasies. I hope we ain't got nobody here this morning reading Twilight. Oh, we ain't got nobody reading Twilight. It used to be Harry Potter, but we're talking about adults here this morning. I know, I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day, he's an evangelist. Brother Jerry, he said he was preaching for a man. And he said even the pastor was standing there talking, pastor of an independent holiness church. And he's standing there talking, the pastor's wife come up to him, and something said about Twilight. And the pastor's wife said, oh, I love those books. I love Twilight. These twisted ideas and fantasies today. And if you be honest with me, I want you to raise your hand. But there's some of you been reading that garbage and reading that trash and looking at them movies and the entertainment that we put in front of our eyes in the hour we live in. It's vampires and zombies and ghosts and goblins. And it's entertaining and it's just fun. But you understand there's a spirit behind all of those things. And it's a spirit of sorcery and witchcraft. And it's straight out of here. It's what the enemy would do. If he can get a way in through entertainment and through reading and through literature, any way he can get into your life, he will do it. But my experience hasn't been with people playing with Ouija boards and having lighting candles and calling up the dead. I've never experienced that. But my experience has been people, Brother Joey, that have been swept and garnished. People in the house of God that have been swept and garnished, but they're empty of the Spirit of God, and they come to the house of God and play church. It's what the seven sons of Sceva did in Acts chapter number 19. They got this idea that Paul can cast out devils, and Paul can do this, so we can too. But what they didn't understand, they didn't have the same power that Paul had. And before it was all over, that evil spirit had done jumped on them and whooped them and ran them off. I tell you, one of the fastest ways for the enemy to get dominion over you is to begin to play with spiritual things in the house of God when there's unconfessed sin in your life. We want you to come to the house of God. We want you to come to the altar. But if there's sin in your life, we want you to stop at the altar and pray all the way through till the sin is gone. Then we'll shout with you. Then we'll dance with you. But until you get the sin problem taken care of, you're opening yourself up to things that you don't know what you're playing with this morning. People's acting saved and Holy Ghost filled. We had a youth camp a couple weeks ago. I want to be careful here. I want to be ethical. But on the last night, Brother Pascarella, there was a young lady up there. We was praying with the boys. Some Isaac was there. I don't know. Carrie was there. Man, the Holy Ghost was thick in that place. And I'm preaching slow, but I'm going to get to where I want to preach. The Holy Ghost was thick in that place, and God was moving. But brother, I felt something come in that place, and this young lady began to shout and buck and kick, but you could feel something wasn't just right. She began to spit in the floor, uncontrolled, wild. You know what it was? She hadn't been playing on a Ouija board, but she'd been playing church. She'd been coming to church acting like she was saved. She'd been coming to church acting like she was coming around, but when she went out of the church, she was living a different life. And what that did, it opened up her life to every foul spirit of hell that could come in I hate to report to you, but we didn't get to victory that night. We went on. And prayer last night, I was trying to go a different way, but I felt like God, and I hope you'll give me liberty here and have confidence in me to preach what's on my heart. But I feel like one of the prevailing spirits God put on my heart to preach about this morning, really the only main one in the church today, in this camp, in other camps, in churches, is a spirit of lust and sexual sins. It opens young people up to spirits from hell. Stay with me this morning. People are acting, coming to the house of God at youth camp, acting like they're saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost. They're up here shouting and speaking and talking. I'm not talking about what we've seen this week's real. Okay, don't misunderstand me. But understand, everything that glitters isn't gold. There's some things going on in youth camps and churches and camp meetings that young people I know personally that's out in the world, they're living in fornication. They're looking at pornography. They're doing things that are totally contrary to the Word of God. And they never check up. They never slow down. Brother Ruiz, they're shouting. They're speaking in tongues. They're running the aisles. And they leave and get on the internet and get on their phone. They're looking at pornography. They're doing things with girls and boys outside the house of God, and then they come back in and shout and talk in tongues. I tell you what you're doing. You may get a spirit, and it may even be God that sends you a spirit, but it may be the spirit that Saul got when he said an evil spirit from the Lord. You don't play with God and play with the Holy Ghost and live in sin and expect for it to go unpunished. Lust. Lust, when I say lust, I know what you think. A boy looking at a girl the wrong way. That's not the definition of lust. Lust is a strong desire or a craving, a sensual craving or strong desire. We have people right in our churches, and if we really wanted to get down to the matter, there's some right here on these chairs that come to the house of God and they shout and they speak in tongues and talk in tongues. I know of entire churches that would shout and run. They looked holiness. They had a good standard. But inside that church, it was men and women. They were swapping wives. The young people was committing fornication. They was hooked on pornography. They were living like animals, and they were still talking in tongues and speaking in tongues. They're full of lustful spirits. Hey, you better believe one thing this morning. You ain't been out slipping around and come in talking in tongues. If you do, you better check yourself, because it's not the Holy Ghost. He will not speak through somebody. He will not dwell in somebody that's been living in sin. Spirits of lust. Right here. I'm not preaching down. I'm preaching at Broxton. I ain't preaching to no other church right now or no other movement. We're preaching to Broxton this morning. But there's some young people right here. If you don't pray through and get a hold of yourself and get that lust out of your heart and get them spirits out of your life, boy, you're going to get more than you ever bargained for. They're lustful in their dialogue. Evil communications. I remember going to youth camp. I remember it was 15, 16 years ago, the first time I ever went to a youth camp. And I remember like it was yesterday. Some of the boys that would get up and they'd lead singing. And man, they would get to going. They would tear something up. They would shout, speak in tongues. They'd be wanting to pray for everybody. But when we got out and went back to the dorm, they was talking filthy about girls. They was talking dirty. They was talking about all the ungodliest movies that was out at the time. And I'm standing there, and years went on, and I become a counselor. I had my radio. Brother Jim ain't the only one that's ever had a radio. I had a radio. And I remember I was outside the dorm room one night. I had my radio, and some of the campers had got radios and got on the same channel. And I heard a boy that was supposed to be a preacher, went to a prominent church. He was a preacher, and I heard a girl that was supposed to be holiness went to another prominent church. They got to talking, and Brother Pastorella, she said one of the most vulgar, perverse things. I wouldn't say it. I may would tell some of Brother Pastorella, but I wouldn't say it to any of you. And I thought I misunderstood that, Sister Mary. I went to the room my boys was in. I said, "Did you just hear what I just heard?" I said, "Yeah, I did." And I walked in there and pushed them boys' door open, and I said, "What in the world are y'all doing? Y'all up here speaking in tongues, shouting and running. But you know what? It wasn't long, and I'm not joyful. It wasn't long until there was children out of wedlock. It wasn't long until there was lives ruined. What is it? It's the spirit of you. I want to preach to you, young people. You come up here. We want you to pray. I love it. I wrestle with preaching this way. I want to preach it high and go with the glory. But I know for a fact there's some of you that come up here and shout and dance and kick and buck. And you go back to that dorm over there and you talk filthy and nasty and dirty. And you live like dogs and you're looking at stuff you're not supposed to be looking at. You're talking about what you want. I want to preach to you. You laugh about it and it's a game, but brother, it's not funny this morning because the devil's lurking. The Holy Ghost is looking, but the devil's lurking and he wants to get in your life. He wants to get a hold of your life and all he needs is a foothold. All he needs is a door to get in. The same tongue that speaks in other tongues. What about can bitter and sweet waters come out of the same cistern? No, it can't happen. The same tongue that gets up here and speaks in tongues and then goes back to the dorm. And I don't have to be graphic and plain. You understand what I'm saying. But when you begin to let those things spew out of your mouth after you've been up here, you know what it does? It's opening a door. Spirits are lurking around. They're lurking around. And they're just waiting on an opportunity to get in your life. They're lustful in their dialogue, but they're also lustful in their dress. Sensual and spiritual do not mix. There's some of you right here that think it's cool to push the limits of modesty and holy living. There's some of you that think it's just great to see how far you can go to push the envelope, but see how far you can push it before somebody says something to you. And the sad reality is that some of you want to get up here and push the envelope as far as it'll go and be as immodest as you can and get up here and shout and talk in tongues. And the reason you do it is not because it's the Holy Ghost. It's because you want to prove a point to everybody else that my skirt is very short and my clothes are very tight and I'm dressing immodest, but I'm just as spiritual as everybody else. You might be spiritual, but it's not the Spirit of God, because the Holy Ghost will not move on somebody that's got an attire on that is immodest. I want to make a point, but hear me this morning. You may get a break this morning, girls. I don't know, it may come back around, but it's not just the girls. I ain't thought a whole lot about the girls praying about this. It's not just the girls. Some of you boys, listen. You need to move up out of the junior section in your britches. Take off the skinny jeans. There's only about two or three of you I can see that can wear skinny. I don't wear skinny jeans, so I'm not skinny. And there's a few of you that I say, Ansley make a fit in a pair and still be modest. He's pretty... But for the most of us, brother, the dress styles of the young men, the women, they've caught it for years. Boy, they've got it for years, and we may get back to it. But there's some boys at camp that's wearing some stuff that's just as immodest. When it looks like, I'll tell you what it looks like. It looks like you got up on your bed and got two boys to hold your britches out, and you jumped into them. That's what it looks like. Or somebody melted you in port, and you up here prancing around and wanting to dance and shout and speak in tongues. You better get you some clothes on that's modest, or there'll be a spirit that'll come with that clothing. Hey, listen to me, boys. I'm not against you wearing pink shirts. Some people are. I'm not. But I'm just going to be honest with you. I ain't trying to be mean. I prayed about repression. I don't want to have an attitude. I don't want to come across as mean. But there's some of you boys that don't need to be wearing pink shirts. There's some of you don't need to be wearing pink shirts. You know what I'm talking about. Because with that spirit of effeminacy gets on you. That pink shirt, all it does is amplify that spirit. All it does is make you stick out like a sore thumb. That effeminate spirit is running rampant in the house of God today. Boys run around, your pants are so tight you can't even hardly move. Your shirts are so tight you ain't none of you bodybuilders in here. You got shirts on that's so tight and so low necked. That effeminate spirit gets a hold of boys and they're running around. They're prissing around and prancing around. God, that's a spirit. There ain't nothing but a spirit that'll make a boy act like a girl. It ain't nothing but a spirit from hell that'll make a boy want to prance around and act like a woman. Well, they got a boyfriend. They got a girlfriend. So what? So what? I know people that's been married for years. Had 2 and 3 kids. I got friends that I was personal friends with. The boy was a preacher. He had a beautiful wife, 2 beautiful little boys. But they got bitter and they got hurt and they backslid. But what they didn't know was years before that woman had a spirit in her life that God delivered her from. But when she left God, she opened back up. She left him for another woman. Took the kids with him. I don't care if you got a girlfriend, boy. You better act like a man and quit pressing around this camp. If you don't know what it is to act like a man, see Brother Joey Dean. See Brother Jerry Pascarella. Ask somebody, am I effeminate? Oh, yeah. I know you'd rather me preach on your iPods and your music, and we'll get that too. But there's some young people right here at this camp. If you don't pray through about some things, there's some spirits following you around. Effeminate. I ain't never in my life seen it so much as it is right now. I'm not trying to be mean. Every camp I go to, everywhere, every youth camp, it is a spirit of offense. And there's some rough girls too now. There's some rough girls. Look, if my baby girl's 4 years old. We raised in the country, Brother Dean. She told me the other day, she said, Dad, I want to go turkey hunting, I want to go deer hunting, I want to go duck hunting. I said, baby, I'll take you. I'll take her with me. If she wants to go sit in a shooting house with me, that's fine. But I got 2 girls. God hadn't blessed me with a boy yet. And I ain't going to make one of my girls a boy. You hear me? My little girls, if I can help, I want them to press around. I want them to be effeminate because that's what God wants them to be. I don't want my little girl to be able to whoop you, boy. I don't want my little girl. I don't want my little girl to be rough and tumble and tough. And they are to a certain extent. They're little bitty girls now. But I don't want them to raise up, Ansley, and try to drive a bigger four-wheel drive than you can drive. I don't want them to raise up and try to be a boy. Girls, you need to be girls. But I'm really on the boys this morning because there's nothing that makes me any more sick and to see some little old boy running around here. You may have a girl on both hands, but you're still effeminate. And if you don't get in an altar of prayer, it goes deeper than that. There's more than that. The Bible speaks more about effeminacy than it does homosexuality. I really do believe that God is sovereign. And if he wants me shouting, which I'm modest in any position, but if he wants some young lady shouting, Brother Dean, I believe he can keep her covered. All right? I'll tell you what I have seen. I seen a young lady at our church 10 years ago or so. Good young lady. She was seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This woman come up to her. I mean dressed in modest. This girl was seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She was real. She was a real deal. Dressed modest. And I seen it with my own eyes. She was seeking God, and the Holy Ghost hit her, and she went to shouting. When he did, that Holy Ghost, that other girl had her hand on her. And when she hit her, it looked like somebody had punched her. And she slid across the floor. What we didn't know is that she had one of them spirits in her. We ended up praying with her for hours and hours. She was a little skinny girl, probably didn't weigh 105 pounds. I seen one lady, and I'm not being disrespectful. This lady, she'd go about 250, laid across her legs. I'm not lying. Laid across her legs. Another lady had one arm held down. Another lady had another one. Brother Steve had his hand up under her head because that spirit was picking her head up and slamming it into the floor. And with all of them women on her, her body was still shaking them off and picking them up. What is it? The real Holy Ghost baptized that one girl, but the real Holy Ghost put that other girl out of the way. I'm telling you something. You play with spirits, you may get a spirit. It might not be the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God can be quenched. I felt God move on me before, and I'm sad to say it, but I've kind of tightened up. But when that other spirit gets on you, you can't quench it. You can't stop it. A boy told Brother Steve, he said, I started speaking in tongues, and I couldn't quit. Brother Steve said, that ought to told you that wasn't the Spirit of God. He can be quenched. I didn't try to be mean to you this morning, young people. But some of you has been playing church. There's some of you has been coming right in here and putting on a show and going right back out and sinning. I don't mean controversial. Is it a sin? Is it not a sin? Sinning. Lustful. Perverse. Sensual sin. You don't do that for very long. I believe the Spirit of God extend mercy. He'll keep it off. There'll come a time you keep on. He'll let you have what you want. And when those spirits move in, some of you's dealt with that spirit. Some of you boys have dealt with that spirit for years. This is really what I felt like preaching. Some of you boys has dealt with that effeminate spirit for years. God got it off of you. You pray, it come back. But if you don't pray through about that thing, when it comes back, I read to you in Matthew where he brings seven more vile than himself. Well, you ain't ever seen nothing as wicked as when they begin to come in more and more and more. And then you come back to youth camp, and Brother Pascarella and Brother Dean has to get on the floor and pray for hours. You don't want that. I'm going to say this. Do we have time for an altar? 15 minutes. Somebody come to the music, if they would. I'm going to say this. I don't want you to take me wrong at all. Jesus said, I would that thou were cold or hot. But because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Boy, girl, you'd be better off if you're going to live that way. And you're going to live in sin, and you're going to look at junk on the internet, on television, and you're going to dress like you dress and act like you act. You'd be better off. I know you can't do it at youth camp. But if you're going to come to church, you'd be better off to stay in your seat. If you're not serious with God, you'd be better off to do what you're going to do and live like you're going to live. I told somebody that the other day. I said, if you're going to live like that, live like that. If that's what you want to do, I can't stop you. I don't want you to do it. Don't misunderstand me. I don't want you to. So, but if you're going to do it, just do it. But don't come in and try to play church while you're doing it. God ain't no game. Now, what about the other church? They live in sin. Yeah, but they don't claim exposure to the Spirit either. When you get into spiritual things, when you get into exposure to the Spirit of God, and then you begin to toy with sin and live in sin, you open yourself up to all kind of other spirits too. I believe it's real. I know we may not see it. Brother Pastor, I don't want to see it. I hope it ain't that way. I don't like seeing that. But you better listen to me, young people. It's real. The Spirit of God is not the only spirit that wants to live in you. How do you open yourself up to the Spirit of God? You get rid of sin. You pray through. You get sanctified. You get emptied of self and ask God to come in. But all you have to do to open yourself to those other spirits is get rid of God and begin to toy with things. Would you stand with me this morning? Oh, I sure wish I could have preached better to you. I really do. But it's been a burden of my heart because I've seen it in so many places, people playing church. It broke my heart. It really did when we had to pray with that young lady. It did. I looked around at a buddy of mine, and I said, Brother Pasquale, it broke my heart. I said, little old young girl. I said, my God, it wasn't even all her fault. She was snatched out of the house of God. She was taught to live that way. Understand me something, young people this morning. The enemy is cruel. He's vicious. He don't show no mercy to any of you. If I was struggling with anything, I want to make this disclaimer. Don't think if you step out and come to this altar, they're going to think, ooh, he's been looking at this, or ooh, he's funny, or ooh, he... No, I don't want none of you other people, young people, to think that either. Because if you be honest, some of you struggling with the same stuff. You just got too much pride to admit it. But as this sister begins to play, I want to know if I got any young people that'll be honest with me. Say, preacher, I'm just struggling with some stuff. I don't mean you're possessed. It don't mean you're bad. Or we all struggle. Brother Pascarella said, I think last night, we all have weaknesses. But they got to be dealt with. Do I have a young person that just be honest? Step out right now, come to this altar. Say, preacher, I've been struggling with some things. And I don't want to let it get a hold of my life. Come on, step out. You know you're here. You know you're here. I felt the witness of the Spirit. I prayed about it, and God dealt with me to preach this. You need to step out right now.
You're struggling with something.
It speaks more about effeminacy than it does a lot of other things that we like. That, hey, and I'm against, but it starts off there. It's rampant in our churches. I'm serious, boys. I'm serious. It's not funny. It's not cool. Brother Jerry Pascarella, I have never been attracted to another man. Can somebody say amen? But Brother Brian, you know what? I don't joke about it. I don't joke about it. Some of you do, because I've heard some of you do it. Oh, I'm preaching to you, and you're quiet, but I'm telling you, you joke about it, and you laugh about it, but ain't none of you boys cute to me, all right? Ain't none of it, and you joke about that garbage and that filth and stuff that goes on, but I tell you what that does, that opens up a door for something to get in your life. You think you're somebody now, and you're wonderful because all the girls are following you around, but you keep on playing with that spirit, boy, and it'll be the boys following you around, and you know, I'll never do that, but that's where it starts. One man said this way, he said, you don't have to be a homosexual to go to hell. You just got to act like one. And that spirit's rampant in the church today. I'm going to preach on. I'm going to move on. They're lustful in their dress. Listen, I'm not hung up on that, but I'm telling you, there's some stuff that shouts. Brother, when a man has to turn his head, ladies, that's not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, and man, I don't know. Here we are. The Holy Ghost, he doesn't shout boys like girls. He don't shout girls like boys. And he don't shout boys over in the girls section. And he don't shout girls over in the boys section. And the Holy Ghost don't speak in tongues through a boy and sound like a girl. I was at a camp meeting one time. It wasn't one of ours. It's the movement we come out of. And I went back. I said, I want to see what they got. I went, tabernacle, it was a bigger tabernacle than this. Run down, little boy up on the piano. Their boy, they stand up on the piano, on the keyboard. He's standing up and he's prancing, singing. He waits till everything stops and he pulls the microphone right up to his mouth and he fixes it. And he lets out this message in some tongue. And he just goes off. I mean, sound is so sissified. I told my boy, I said, I ain't the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost ain't no sissy. Holy Ghost don't sound like that. Holy Ghost is a masculine being. I said, that ain't the Holy Ghost. He spoke, then I didn't know at the time, his daddy was back in the back. His daddy interpreted it. How convenient. Soon as he got done, he did it again. He did it again. I ain't lying. He done it again. His daddy interpreted it again. He did it 3 times in a row. Daddy interpreted every time. He didn't say nothing. He didn't say, yay, 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 yay. He didn't say nothing. I was going to leave, but I wanted to stay and hear the preacher. He said it was the best he had. I wish I'd have left. He couldn't preach at all. I can't preach, but he sure couldn't preach. But brother, I told the buddies with me, I said, that is not the Holy Ghost. We've got a misconception that if something speaks in tongues, oh, you better be careful. You don't want to say nothing about that. Hey, there's some signs you can look at and see. Know the spirits. Try the spirits and see whether they be a God. Some boy dancing around here like a woman, that ain't the Holy Ghost. Some little boy speaking in tongues, now that ain't the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a masculine. When he, the spirit of truth, is come, the Holy Ghost is masculine. He ain't going to shout some boy, but he ain't gonna shout no girl like a boy. Some of these girls get a shout and they buck wild. They knock. I've seen Sister Carrie. I may embarrass you. You get embarrassed easy. You may want to leave. Sister Carrie goes to our church. She's great friends of ours. I want to preach to you this morning. She a couple years ago, we at our camp meeting, she was seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It got wild one night, man. We was having church. She was seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which them women was praying for. And you better decide what you're going to do. If you want to pray, you go up there. If you don't, don't. Because they got a hold of her and they was praying. And we had altars that were separate out in there. Some of you have been to our church. Some of you may have been there. They got to praying for her and her back. She was backed up against the altar about at her knees. And they was praying for Brother Pastor Graham, and the Holy Ghost hit her. She had on a skirt that was long enough to cover her. And when the Holy Ghost hit her, she flipped backwards over the altar. She landed on her back, and her feet were straight up in the air. Her skirt never moved. There was others that looked around and said, Did you see that? It should have. Gravity should have taken over. But when the Holy Ghost moves on somebody, he'll keep you modest. I watched her shout across the front of the church with her eyes closed backwards and sat right down on the steps. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is modest. The real Holy Ghost. You see somebody out here shouting, they ain't got on enough clothes to cover themselves, dancing and speaking in tongues. God ain't in that. God ain't nowhere around that. You better get on some clothes and come and pray through if you want the Holy Ghost. Young ladies coming around, they got skirts on, don't even come to their knees. And I ain't against high heels. My wife wear high heels. But when you got on, and you say, how you know, preacher? I know how. Why them preachers preaching? I got a wife. After church, she says, did you see? I don't pay attention to it a lot of time. Did you see? When you got on a skirt that don't even hardly come to your knees, and you got on heels this tall, it makes it look shorter. You can go figure what it makes it look shorter. And then clothes that are so tight, and they prance up to the altar and prance around. The Holy Ghost ain't interested in you modeling, all right? He ain't interested in you coming up here and showing off your clothes or showing off anything else. He's interested in cleaning your life out. He's interested in getting the sin out of your life. And if you want the real Holy Ghost, you'll dress modest and you'll live right. You won't be running around with lust in your heart, with spirits in your life. You'll get all that out and shut the door. Because if you don't, a spirit will get a hold of you. They're lustful in their dress. They're lustful in their dialogue. And I'm fixing to close. But they're lustful in their demonstration. And I've already mentioned that. They get up and shout. I know and I've seen it. And I'm not trying to be mean. And if you know an instance, then but for me, Brother Pastor.